Hello, today's guest is Bobby Moccia, a former Wall Street pro turned entrepreneur who now runs Green Ridge Wealth Planning. Today we talked about how purpose doesn't just show up, why money's just a tool, the journey to passion, and what business owners often miss, having a target, not flying blind. Please like and subscribe to support the show and stay updated on future episodes. Welcome to another episode of the Deeper Than Dough podcast. I'm super excited to have Bobby Moccia. But you could pronounce it 100 different ways, I'm told. So, Bobby, welcome to the show.
What's going on, buddy? How are you?
Super good. I'm super excited to have you. I was recently a guest on Bobby's podcast, and I just feel like, man, a lot of the life experiences, or at least our views and values, are very similar. So
I agree. I love that.
Can we start?
We definitely hit it off. I mean, that was one thing we were sharing the same energy, sharing the same ideas, and it was a great time. I can't wait till it gets out.
Yeah, going over the potential topics before, I'm like, oh, these are great. And this is also exactly what I'm trying to get out of the guest with, some of the pre-formulated questions. So I'm super excited. But can we start with just, a minute or two of your background, who you are and what you're doing now?
Yeah. I mean, listen, I'm going to try to make it short because I can go really long to where people sometimes sit on the edge of their seat and they're like, oh my God, what happens next? Yeah. But I don't think that that's really too fair. So I'm just going to back it up to I graduated double major finance and marketing from a prestigious college out here on the East Coast. And I started working on Wall Street. Wanted to be an investment banker. Fast forward a little bit after 9/11, which my office was downtown. Both my mother and my father went in for open heart surgery within 18 months of one another. My mother because she has congenital heart disease, my dad because he ate too much sausage and didn't follow his diet. So the one thing, my mother went in first, and my dad, while my mother was in there, was just constantly, you should probably try, we should bring it into the family business. And I said to him, Dad, love you to death. But it was something I wasn't going to touch with a 10-foot pole. I wanted nothing to do with it. It was the one thing I promised myself I would never do.
And this is a restaurant business, correct? Franchising in the food space.
Franchising, Dunkin' Donuts, Baskin-Robbins, pizzerias, Sonic Drive-In. We had about 20 locations. And when he finally went in for open heart surgery, that's when the last straw fell for me. And I'm a big family guy, so I was like, all right, listen, I got to get in here. So I got into the family business for the next 9 years. We doubled it from 20 to 40 locations. We were doing about $50 million in revenue. And we were never really set up for succession. We were never really set up for anything other than continue to grow, continue to operate. Mm-hmm. And what I came to a quick realization as I started having kids was this was always going to be Dad's passion. It was always going to be Dad's business. I never really believed, because he was young at the time, and it wasn't the thing like, oh, Dad's going to retire at some point and this will be mine. I kind of looked at it as I need to go carve my own path. He's still going to be doing this for a number of decades. Let him do his thing. Let me go do mine. So I got back into finance and I ended up on the advisory side. I've always loved Wall Street. I've always loved publicly traded companies. This go around, I was going to say, I'm going to take a lot of that knowledge and experience, and I'm going to start working with clients and building a client book and helping them to plan around their future, around their assets, to really get them to a point where they have some clarity and are able to put their head on a pillow. So, fast forward a couple of years, what I did not like about the industry was there was a lot of commission breath, a lot of guys running around selling commissionable products. All the managers were pushing sales quotas, sales quotas, sales quotas. And I said, I didn't get into this to sell. I got into this to advise. I love the idea of being an advisor. I don't love the idea of being a salesperson. So I started my own registered investment advisory firm called Green Ridge Wealth Planning. And I've grown it to about $300 million. We've got 12 people. I have a business partner that came in and we've been crushing it. And what happened to me going around 2 years ago, it'll be 2 years in June, June 8th rather. So we're right around the block from that. My father passed away. He had gotten diagnosed with cancer, and he had fought it for a while. It had gone into remission, and then it came back. And when I left my dad the first year, he and I did not speak. It did not end well when I decided to pull the plug and leave. But after that first year, our relationship started getting stronger. And then as he started to see how successful I was becoming, our relationship got very strong. And we just had a different relationship than we ever had, because I was not the guy who was asking him, hey, dad, give me money or I'm working for you. It was, oh, you're an independent man who's on his own and has done something. And he was, you know, it was different. So when he passed, I was the executor of the estate. My mom's still alive. I have two sisters. And I had to step in before he passed to become the CEO of his company. And fortunately, I had developed a business style for the advisory practice, which I'm sure we'll get into at some point. But basically, had the right people on the bus in the right seats, built for growth, not for what we had. So I was able to take that step away. I was probably about 80% in the family business, 20% in my business at that time with the Pendulum. And I was able to replicate the same organizational structure over there that I was over in the Green Ridge. So the whole concept is really, how do you create that self-managed business? And that's something that I just try to improve on and get better at every day. And I try to learn from guys like you and other clients that we work with. And that's what I've been able to do over the past two decades and actually 25 years, two and a half decades. Crap, I'm getting old, man. So that's it. I got three kids and I'm married and, you know, all that other fun stuff. Yep.
Well, the lot to unpack there. So appreciate you sharing that. One thing I wanted to start with, because I heard, you know, we're talking purpose, but also like passion of here's my dad's business. And it sounded like you just didn't have that passion there. What is the difference between purpose and passion? And when did you find what your purpose was and what your passion was?
So, you know what, that's a really good question, because I think what most business owners do is they have something that they're good at, something that they like, and they decide to get into business. And a lot of them are tradespeople who are not really business people and don't really understand what the trials and tribulations are as they get into business. For me, I was almost the opposite. I've grown up as an entrepreneur. I mean, I remember as a teenager, I would take my, you know, take bottles of soda and bottles of water and candy bars, and I would go down and I'd look through the woods of the local golf course, and I'd pick up balls, and then I would set up a stand before the nine and sell soda, candy, and the golfers their balls back. I would just do some crazy stuff just to get money for like video games and to, you know, it was a different era. It was the 80s and the early 90s, and, you know, where kids had to be, we didn't have phones, we had to be creative. And I've always been of the entrepreneurial mindset. Mm-hmm. So for me, as I was looking for my purpose, when I got into the, let's call it the real world, even when I graduated college, my mother said, I spoke to your dad and he said, if you want, you could take another year. And I'm like, another year? I gotta get out there and make money. There's no another year. So my passion was always make money. And as I started to become more and more successful, it was actually my dad's passing was a big part of it. As much as I would critique my dad for not living his life, I don't think it really hit home until he actually lost his life. And because he was just a severe workaholic. And I did a lot of work with mindfulness, a lot of work on just myself and trying to get my head around who I was and what I was here for. And in that process, I had reflection of every year. It was always, I'm going to make more. And I'm the type of guy where I hit a target or I put a target out there that I'm going to hit. And then when we hit the target, I don't stop to celebrate. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was supposed to do. What's the next target? Yeah. Yep. And that drives my wife crazy. It drove the people around me crazy. And what I really came to believe was it's not money. I can't have money and success be my target. I have to find fulfillment from something else. So, you know, I almost liken it to when you're on a plane. And when you're going through the emergency, you know, the emergency procedures and protocols, and they show the bag drop from the ceiling, and they go, if the bag drops, you know, put it on the children first and then do you. And it's kind of like life, you know, the opposite way. I'm thinking of the bags falling down. Put it on yourself first. That's the way I used to live my life. I put it on my kids first and then I put me.
Yep.
But you put it on yourself and then you put it on your kids. Why? Because if you can't breathe, then who the hell are you helping if you pass out?
Yep.
Essentially, right? And that's kind of the way I've started to focus and fulfill myself, was to find out what brings me peace, what brings me that feeling of being settled, mm-hmm. and being able to enjoy what I've done, who's around me, the people that are in my life. And once that started to happen, business started getting better. It just started working better. The people around me started working better. They had more freedoms to get things done. I was just taking a little bit of breath, a little bit of me time. And that is really, you know, that has really been a big difference for me. So, you know, if you're constantly chasing success, for me, I feel like that's not really the best way. I just keep looking for small, consistent improvements in my life, in me, in my family, time that I get to spend with my kids. And I've found that the more I do that, just that's where I get my fulfillment. And I think it's going to change as I get older. Yep. It's changed one way to another way, and I'm sure I'll evolve. But you know, as I'm kind of working on this personal development, and I have been over the past 2 years, it's given me some shed some new light on how I do things.
What was the breaking point to, I'm focused on money, and I do want to add a secondary question. Why was your passion money? Because I feel like I relate to that as well, but I'm also looking at like, well, what is money? Money isn't, my passion wasn't money. My passion was probably, I want self-worth, and money would give me that. And then changing it to, well, I don't need money to have self-worth. I could focus on some other things. But the two question is, yeah, what do you feel like your real passion was? If you could say it was money, but because money was going to give me XYZ, and then what was the trigger to realize, oh, I don't want that anymore. I want personal improvement.
So it's funny because the people who tell you that money doesn't mean anything are usually the people who are rich, right? So for me, it was, you know, I started to, my passion is what I do now. My passion is in helping people, working with business owners, being able to kind of take the step back and work strategically with them. I think the breaking point for me was I had a business that I stepped away from, my father's business. And all of a sudden, I'm running one business. I have the second business that I have to take on. I have the estate that I have to settle. I have my two sisters that are, you know, are one set of variables. I have my mother as another set of variables. I have my wife and my children that are a set of variables that I need to take control of and make sure that I'm doing what I can. And really, the reason I built my business for growth was because of the success. It's because I really have something to prove, and I don't really have anybody to prove it to, but I always felt like I had something that I had to prove. And it was just the more I could be successful, the more shit I can accumulate, the more things that I can do that gave me that feeling of like, I've made it. I was thinking that would fill voids in my life forever. I mean, it's always like, you know, one of the things that I look back at is my dad would be like, oh, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. And most of the time it was, you can't do that because he had limitations on himself. Most of the time it was, you can't do that because he thought you're going to hurt yourself. He was trying to protect you from doing something stupid. But I always, from that as a little kid, I always took that and I was like, the fuck, I can't. I'm going to do it. And that chip on my shoulder got me to where I was. And then that growth mindset is like, I'm going to build my firm to grow. It worked out for me because when I got into the minutia of dad's business and I started to reorganize it, restructure it, I was hiring new people. I was bringing people in. I was redoing procedures and just trying to give a whole overhaul. I burnt out like I've never burnt out before. I mean, I usually go through like these burnout phases, right? I go 8 months really hard, and then all of a sudden 2 months, I'm tired, I'm sluggish, I don't really want to do anything. Then I revamp up and I'm super hyped up and I'm like, go on to the next one. And then I pull back a little bit because I'm like, fuck, man, I'm tired. I keep doing. And it was the rinse and repeat cycle. Yeah. And then when I got to this was just a different type of burnout. And I said, you know what? I'm going to hire a coach. And I hired a coach. And through that, started a whole series of events that allowed me to digest where I'm at, be a little bit, you know, introspective, kind of look at where I've been, what I've been through, what I'm doing, why I do certain things. And I've been able to find my, or re-identify what my passion is, which is really strategy. I like working with business. I like the strategy. I like the problems. I like when shit goes wrong, when we have to get into the trenches and figure it out together. Yeah. I like to have those hard conversations and come up with solutions that other people aren't thinking about. And that's what jazzes me up. And it's no longer about the money, because I do it for pretty much pro bono most of the time now. But I wouldn't be doing this pro bono if I had to worry about feeding the kids, if I didn't already have a successful business. So
yeah, and you said something like, rich people are the ones that say, you know, money doesn't mean anything. Does it take money to realize the emptiness of money, or are there steps that other people can take maybe at a much earlier age that they realize, hey, if I set my target on money, I'm going to either hit it or miss it. Let's say I hit it, but it's going to be pretty empty, because I think that's a pretty, you know, that's a consensus among most people that have a lot of money. It's like, that wasn't the right marker.
I think there's a couple schools of thought, right? So you have the people who don't really expect to have too much out of life. They don't really need too much. Their bar, their cost of living on a monthly basis is a little bit lower than, a lot lower than mine, right? That's my own issues that I'm also dealing with, right? But you also have the school of thought that, you know, if you listen to, oh my God, I'm having a brain fart. The owner of the Dallas Mavericks that Mark Cuban, thank you. If you listen to like a Mark Cuban, he'll say, dude, people tell you, do what you love, follow your passion, bullshit. You got to be really good at something. And then when you're really good at it, that's when you'll love it. And then when you love it, you'll start making even more money. But you can't get money out of the equation. You know, I think those are two distinct schools of thought. For me, I kind of feel like you got to really put your priorities into perspective. And you've got to look at, am I the type of person that financial security, experiences that cost money, do I have any fear that if something happens, I'm not going to have enough money? If you're that innately that type of person, then you got to figure out how to make money, because you're never really going to be settled until you get to that spot. And, you know, I kind of think about the Mark Cuban comment of, listen, chase money, learn the skill, and then you get really good out of it and you'll love it.
Yeah. And I think a lot of that leads though to what you said before on, my goal was money and now it's personal growth. And what I love about that is personal growth is 100% perspective, I think, right? Like if I fail, but I say that I learned from it, then boom, I no longer failed and I'm successful now, even though you could fail through success if that's your mindset. And I think that is extremely powerful. And then again, focusing on the skills, I think I got that advice early on and I stuck to it and it's really helped. Just focus on the skill set, improving you as an individual, then, you know, everything else will kind of fall in line. So 1,000% agree with that.
If you're not failing as a business owner, then you're not trying hard enough, because really success is a series of failures with few successes that just outpace the failures.
I just saw something like that, you know, that every business success is, you know, 100 failures with 10 wins, but you just keep going until you find those little wins. I listen to a podcast called the Business Wars podcast, because every time I think that everything is going to shit, I listen to it. Right now I'm in Disney versus Pixar. I had no idea that Steve Jobs funded Pixar. Anyways, yep. And I had no idea that they almost went out of business every other year for 20 years. And I had no idea that DreamWorks did the same thing. And I know idea that FedEx, the guy kept his business alive by going to Vegas and gambling his last $6,000 to make enough money to, you know, make payroll. And it's just like, holy crap, all these Nike, same
Amazon.
Thing.
Amazon was in tremendous debt before they were able to turn positive.
And it's like 20 years, you know, it's not like three. And I'm like, man, I'm in dirty dough for 3 years where, okay, I just need to keep going. And I love that those stories are out there, because I didn't, unless I'm on this podcast or you know, rubbing shoulders with other entrepreneurs. I just think that you look at a business on the outside, and if their doors are open and there's employees in there, they're doing well, you know? So my business needs to be doing well as well. Anyways.
But how many people look at you and they go, oh, look at that guy, man. He's got everything. He's got beautiful kids. He's got the wife. He's got the house. He's so, look at how lucky he is. Look at how lucky he is. And they don't see all the bullshit that you had to go through to get to where you are. They don't see all the war scars that you have, all the blood that you've shed and left on the concrete.
I mean, it's still being shed. I just spoke with somebody about that a few weeks ago, and I was like, you know, getting by. And he's like, what do you mean getting by? I see you guys are opening up stores every week. I'm like, yeah, we are, but like, take a look under the hood, man. Like, we're going very quick and we're making 1,000 freaking mistakes, and it is more stressful than anything else I've ever experienced in my life, which again, going back to personal growth, I'm like, okay, this is definitely the best thing for me. On just kind of shifting that mindset. Jumping into, I want to ask what the hardest moment of your life, or one of the hardest ones. You don't have to pinpoint the hardest one. And then I also want to ask you what associated belief or philosophy with that helps you get through, whether that's, you know, finding the purpose and attaching yourself to it, making sure you're working your passion, or anything else that you've spoken about.
So that's a great question. And I think that, you know, I could probably go in 100 different directions with this, but, you know, I'm going to kind of stay on the business line, just because there are a lot of, I'd say, personal things that you go through. But I think the business thing with my father was probably one of the hardest things that I had to do. He and I were just not seeing eye to eye. He was in a space that was different from me in terms of older, more mature, more settled in his life. I was young, eager, trying to get out there. And I remember my wife looking at me one morning and she said to me, you know that if you decide that you don't want to do this anymore, I completely support you. If we have to sell the house, if we have to rent an apartment, I don't give a shit what we have to do. But if it's going to make you happy, you've got to do what you've got to do. And I said to her, but I don't know if you really understand what that's going to be. And she says, I don't really give a shit. As long as we're together, we can make it work. And I would say that the conversation of having with my dad, which ended up being, you know, 5 conversations over a year period. It wasn't just one singular conversation. It was, you know, it was a series of events. But what really got me from rinse and repeat series of events and just kind of going like, oh, this is just what I guess I have to deal with, to, you know what? No, I'm okay now. That was one of the hardest things that I had to do. And having the support of my wife, just for her to say like, do what you got to do. I got you. I'm not going to judge. I'm not scared. You don't be scared. We're going to get this. Like, we'll be okay. Gave me the confidence and the fortitude to kind of push ahead.
It's kind of silly for me to look back, because I had a similar experience. I mean, I've had multiple experiences like that with my wife. And the first one was when I dropped out of, I was a semester away from graduating. I was just doing pre-med, but you know, so I still had a ton more schooling, but I was a semester away. And I was like scared to tell her, because I'm like, hey, I'm not going to be a doctor. I'm going to go knock doors. That's what I was deciding. She was relieved, because she's like, I don't want you to go to school for another, you know, 4 years plus residency plus a bunch of debt, and then I don't get to see you. And she's like, I like doing summer sales. We work for 4 or 5 months out of the year and we're done. But for me, it was like, I just had an expectation of what she thought or what I thought she wanted of me. Anyways, how did you get that support from your wife? Was that something that she just saw you struggling with and wanted to come to you and comfort you? Or was that you asking her for the support and say, hey, here's our options. What do we want to do? How do you even start having that conversation with your spouse?
Yeah, so I would say, you know, I probably have the typical same dynamic with my wife, from the sense of I assume some things and she assumes others, or is thinking something completely different. And I, you know, I would have to say this is just one of those moments in time where she just saw on my face that I was trying to make things happen that were just not. She knew my dad. She knew the dynamic. She knew what was going on. And she just felt, just took it upon herself. She just said it one morning, just said it. Mm-hmm. And she'd seen all the stress that I was dealing with and everything that I was going through. And, you know, I would love to say that there was like one, you know, thing that I may have brought up or a converse. It wasn't really anything like that. It was really just she looked at me and she goes, "You got to do what you got to do. Let's do it. I'm here."
Yeah. And I think you mentioned like, hey, if we lose everything, you don't even understand what that really means. And she's like, I don't care. I'm kind of the same way. And I think our wives are also the same. I'm just like, no, it's not. If you're like me, I'm blowing it out of proportion. Like, what if I did lose everything? What if I did lose my house? Am I in any physical harm? Am I ever going to go without food? No.
I wasn't like, worried about losing my house. I was more, this is going to change the relationship with my parents. This is going to change the relationship with my dad. Probably going to make it awkward for my sisters as well.
Okay. So it wasn't on the financial kids, side. It was the
I didn't get that part's the next part, right?
Okay,
it was
okay.
my kids who wanted to see Pop, you know, yeah. They want to go over to mom, grandma's house and see grandma and see Pop. And, that was going to be compromised. And then on the flip side, it was, if I'm going to go do something where I'm going to start the path of creating my own business, it's going to require a lot of time, a lot of energy, a lot of effort, eventually a lot of capital. It's not going to be easy. There's going to be a lot of pulling dynamics that are going to say, this path is way easier, path of least resistance. I remember when I left, one of the biggest hurdles that I had in starting my own path was everybody in my inner circle was like, "What the fuck are you doing, man? Go back. Go back. You got it made. Like you're leaving? What are you doing?" And having to hear that time over and time over again, I ended up stopped talking to people. I put myself at an arm's length and I was like, I can't hear that. I need words of encouragement. I need to hear people say, hey, listen, you're going to fucking kill it. Go do it. And I got some of that. And that's kind of what kept me going, because I think we all, as much as we want to say, tell me I can't do it and I'll tell you, go fuck yourself. And then I'm going to go do it 10 times better than it could have been done before. If you don't have little words of encouragement, if everyone's telling you, no, you're not going to do it, emotionally, that's really hard.
Oh, absolutely. That is, it's devastating to be like, I'm in this myself. When I dropped out of school, it went from, I dropped out of school and you're an idiot to, okay, I'm just not going to say that. I'm just going to tell everybody I'm taking a break. Everybody's fine with you taking a break.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just on a break for the rest of my life. I'll die before I go back. I'm just like, why? And I'm asking myself,
aren't you in med school?
Just on a break. I'll be back in a few years. But why is that about human nature? What is it that when I see Bobby as having a good gig in a business, I don't care if you like it or you don't. It's just, in my mind, it's a good gig. And if you leave that, I'm going to tell you shouldn't have left that because I know better than you. Like, what is about that? Because that's very common in human nature.
I know this
is off track, but I'd love to hear thoughts.
I don't think people, I mean, there are very few of us that actually have the guts to go out and do it. Most people talk about it. Maybe they'll start a side gig. They'll still keep their job. Yep. They'll still anchor themselves to a salary and they're afraid to do it. And it's fear. It's fear and it's change. And as long as people are fearful and they don't like change, that's going to separate us from the business owners and our ability to earn versus the people who just want to. And it's no dig, right? But that's the risk reward ratio, right?
It's that fear that is like, oh crap, I don't have the guts to do it. Bobby's doing it, so I'm going to tell him he shouldn't be doing it because that makes me feel better about myself. You know, if we're all kind of at the same level, is that kind of the where we're going with that?
You'll hear it all the time, right? You are who you hang out with. My mom used to tell me when I was in high school, like, you look at the kids that you're hanging out with. Like, you can't hang out with that kid. And I'd say, why? And she goes, because you are who you hang out with. Mm-hmm. And as you start to get a little bit more mature and you start to learn that, you really start to level out with the people that are around you. And you've got to evolve your relationships and you've got to kind of get to more like-minded people. And even when you get to more like-minded people, you're going to want to then say, okay, what is the next person doing? And if you have people around you that are pushing you, then you're going to continue to push. But if you have people, I think most people, they're going to try to pull you down to their level. They see you moving up and they go, no, come back down here. I'm here. Come back down here.
Yeah,
come hang out with
it's
me.
It's comfortable if we're on the same level. Yeah. I totally see that. What do you feel like, whether it's purpose, passion, fear, what is it as you've now been advising and consulting so many different business owners and individuals with their on the financial side, what is it that most business owners are missing in their entrepreneur journey?
I think a lot of people are missing the bigger picture and their ability to kind of set a goal and to understand really what they're doing, you know, from not only their business life, but their personal life and bridging the two together. Because I've seen it time and time again. My business is worth, I've identified myself. I can't sell my business. I identify with the business. Yep. And, you know, it's one thing to be passionate about what you do. It's another thing to anchor yourself and anchor your identification to a business. So I think that most people going through the process of really understanding what the goal is, looking at their business more as an asset instead of their identity, really thinking strategically about how to take it from where they are today to where they need to be in order to live the life that they want to live. Because I think once you start to talk about what is it you want to do, where do you want to be, where how do you want your kids to live, what gets you inspired, what motivates you, why do you wake up out of bed and do what you do? What are the things that you could do if you didn't have to go to work? How could you give? Do you even care about giving back to society? Some people do, some people don't. You know, if you want to give back, what are the types of things that you want to do to give back? And when you start to give them a little bit of a exercise to think about the higher, things that they can do beyond just the day-to-day work stuff, then they start to slowly break free. And then their mindset shifts. And then they start to see, okay, you know what? I do have to start to put different people in place. I do have to start getting better alignment or processes or, I have to be a little bit more focused in this specific vertical and less scattered all over the place. So yep. Those conversations are what get me jazzed up because we work through problems together. We give them a target and they start working to the target. And when they hit that target, it's a moment to celebrate, to stop everybody and slow everybody down and say, hey, listen, we're going to celebrate. We can move. We can create a new target. Let's appreciate where we are because we said we were going to be here. We either did it in the amount of time we said, maybe took a little bit longer. Maybe we did it a little bit faster, but let's appreciate that we're here and where are we going next? And I think those intervals are really important to incorporate into your life, especially as a business owner. Because that opens up the periphery. It's no longer just, I'm going to be successful. I'm going to make more money. It now becomes, all right, everything's opened up and I'm starting to create other series of purposes that are around those being successful.
I learned the same thing through my first business coach. It was, okay, you need to have a mission statement. And then I created my mission statement. And then I said, okay, now how do I create my company's mission statement? And he goes, hey, dummy, that's the same thing. Your company is just a tool to achieve your mission statement. And I'm like, oh, really? And it was a complete shift. I'm like, okay, so, and then I started viewing my business as an asset rather than, just something to make me money. It's like, this is my asset to achieve whatever I want to achieve on my personal life. And for me, that was a really good connection.
Well, you and I talked about, go ahead. Just real quick, you and I talked about the baggage that we carry, right? Every human being carries baggage. And this was in my podcast when you and I were talking. We all carry baggage. And the sooner we can start to understand where that baggage comes from, why we do that, why we do certain things, want certain things, act certain ways, whether it's in relationships or the way that we, the way that we present ourselves to people or the things that we do, like I said, I want to be super successful. I want to be able to prove myself. Why do you want to prove yourself? The minute we can start peeling away those layers of the onion and really getting to the core root, we also look at things a little differently. It's kind of like, once that curtain gets lifted, there's no dropping the curtain and imagining that it's the matrix, red pill, blue pill. But once I show you reality, there's no going back. And that's kind of also perspective in life that you will take your life in different areas once you start being that, that introspective.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more. This last question for you, I stole from another podcast, a really good podcast I was on recently. And it was, what are the top three pieces of advice that you'd give to somebody? I mean, this is your podcast, Bobby, for listeners. I really love that question. And you caught me off guard. But anyways, love to hear your answer on that.
Yeah, I think that the top three things, and is this for people in life, or is this for business, or where are we aiming toward?
Let's go life rather than business. It could be business people, but life in general.
Life is long. I think people tell you life is short. Life is fucking long. And you have to look at what the moments of life that are going to pave bridges that you're going to need to walk over. You never want to burn them. In your wake. And if you're consistently mindful of the people that are around you, you're not trying to bowl over them. And if you are, I would say true in nature, you stay ethical, kind of run the higher ground. You know, we used to live in this world where people would think that the barons and the sharks are the ones that kind of, you know, run the world and make the money, but there's no bullying yourself to wealth. If you're creating the right relationships and you're creating really good, strong relationships and a good, a good reputation for yourself, that is sits at the forefront. I mean, I try to tell my kids this all the time. Number two, I would say, put the mask on yourself before you put it on your kid. As long as you're able to take care of yourself, you're going to just show up as a better person. And people show up in many different ways. I see dads and moms that show up, but they're not present. They're not there. They're not connecting. They're just present. They're just in the room.
Yeah.
And I think that you if you take care of yourself and you start to think about a little bit of selfishness, really isn't selfish, because you're doing it for the relationships that are around you to support and be a better person, and a better parent, better provider, better husband, better spouse, better wife, whatever. Whatever the relationship is, better business partner. I think that's huge. And I would say number three is always try to improve. And it doesn't have to be monumental. Small things over time become huge, monumental. And there's, I think we're gonna talk about little plagiarism, right? I heard this from somebody else, and I couldn't be any more true. We overestimate what we can do in a year or 2 years, but we really underestimate what we can do in 10. So if you kind of sit and think about your own life, how many times has that really been true? And I know for me, it has.
Absolutely. So, I mean, it's all about playing the long game for sure. It will work out eventually if you just keep going, get the small wins by focusing on personal growth and that progression. So love all of that. Bobby, thank you a ton. Can you tell our listeners where they can connect with you?
Yeah, I mean, I try to make it as easy as possible. It's bobbymascia.com, BobbyMascia.com. You're going to find Business Unchained. You'll find my wealth management business, Green Ridge Wealth Planning, a link to that. You'll find Mascia Capital Group, which is the holding company for the Duncan franchises, the manufacturing company that we have. So you'll find me on Instagram. You can find me on LinkedIn. Did we do TikTok yet? I think that might be the only thing that we really aren't on is TikTok.
We'll create a fake TikTok account and show that, throw that in the show notes.
So I got to do the real Bobby Mascia.
Yes. It'll be me just talking crap on you. Anyways, Bobby, thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate you, man. Thank you.